Yeah, what you need to know is being brought to us by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Hey, everybody, here she is at UNEEQ_. Follow her on Twitter and on Instagram. She does great Instagram live videos. Here's Laura Romo with what you need to know.
Thank you, Kathleen. Actually, I haven't done a live in a minute, but, you know, maybe we'll dip into that.
When are you going to do your next Instagram
live? I like a good live. It's something that we implement in our practices. It's a thing that we started in the preseason. It's worked well into week 15 and 16. It's something that we saw show up on the field later, and I think that's translated to why we're a good team in the playoffs. Hi, I'm Sean McVay.
Here's some instant feedback for you before we get to what you need to know. Here's Siobhan Monterosa. What's up, Siobhan? Shout out, girl.
Siobhan.
She says, we're moving on. She goes, guys, we're moving on from these impressions. We got to go.
Are we?
Rogers says, yo, please stop. The impressions only go so far. Then Jacob Perez says, yo, I love the Gruden impression, man. I'll tell you that. And then Blockchain Ray says, I wish I could count the number of times that Lindsay Baseball and Unique roll their eyes during that McVay, Gruden, Pesci impression segment.
You know, we count eye rolls in practice. That's something that we have our quality control guys on. It's something that we...
Guys, what you need to know is that you guys need to stop. Apparently, everyone wants you guys to stop.
Worst sleepover ever. Go on.
For real, I mean, it's not just Lindsay and I at this point anymore. It's like the listeners are like, guys, pull
the
plug.
It was never just me and you, Laura. Let's be
serious. Oh, we know, girl. But, you know, I feel like they needed to get the extras because they're like, okay, you guys are just, you know, busting our chops. But no. Plug,
hey,
plug.
Look, it's Friday. You know what I'm saying? It's Friday. Things
it
are getting a little out of control on a Friday.
Yay. It is Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So what you guys need to know is NBA legend Mr. Magic Johnson will have a documentary coming out on Apple TV. I'm a huge fan of Apple TV, and I know most of us have Apple TV here. It'll be debuting April of 2022. So I actually saw a little bit of the trailer that came out that he posted. Sorry for that. Posted out on Twitter, and I'm excited. I know Lindsay's a huge fan of documentaries, so I'm really excited for this. It talks about his life, not just as a player in his career, but, you know, his life in general. I am sorry for that.
You are sorry for what?
Oh, you guys can't hear that? Oh,
no,
perfect.
No,
okay.
Are you moving the mic?
No. My watch, because Briones keeps texting me, it's dinging. So I'm like, I'm sorry.
You know, we don't have guys with watches in our program. That's a distraction that we don't like to implement in practice. That's something that we found a way to get around. And again, our coaches are great at eliminating distractions. It's why we're so good. Hi, I'm Sean McVay.
Hey, let me tell you something, Laura. I heard that ding on your watch, and I thought it was the fire alarm that I can't find. So keep going.
Well played.
No, I tried to, like, silence it, because especially when I'm on mic, but, you know, people are texting me. So anyways, it will be Apple TV. It's called They Call Me Magic. So that's a 4-part documentary premiering April 22. Okay, so if you guys don't have Apple TV, go grab it. It's not that expensive, and it's actually has pretty good programming in there.
Scott, what's your level of excitement on this? Good call, Laura.
I am curious. Listen, I love Magic Johnson more, believe it or not, I love Magic Johnson more after basketball. I love Magic the entrepreneur, the community advocate.
The movie theaters, the Starbucks, etc. Yeah.
Yeah. I find that to be fascinating, how somebody who was so famous and so wealthy already had so much drive and ambition and entrepreneurial spirit. So does it get to that point, Laura? I mean, is it just, you know, the beginnings of his basketball in Michigan State and the Lakers? I mean, does it talk about, do you know?
No, part four. It's everything, like his philanthropy, entrepreneurship, everything.
You know, what's interesting about this is that, you know, Scott, we've talked about sort of the old guy element of a lot of things. But, you know, in terms of how time has passed and what the concept of documentaries is, it's like I find documentaries about things that I was very alive for and very much remember in real time kind of harder to relate to. And Magic is kind of just on the cusp of, like, there's a certain amount of things that I just don't really know. But there are some times when I'm like, I don't need to watch a 30 for 30 or a documentary on this. I remember it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was there, you know, and this is not one of those. So that's why I was asking that question, because I am interested in that, because it is just beyond that sort of time frame of things that I was sort of cognizant of sort of overall.
Aren't there two other like Laker related pieces of content. Isn't there the is it HBO that's got the Showtime series about Magic and Pat Riley and Kareem and that
it's
whole
HBO, yeah.
era?
Yeah, they got a bunch of star studded. They got a whole crew. I think what's his name? Dang it, I can't remember his name right now. I can see his face, but they got like they've got a legitimate lineup for that particular docuseries or not docuseries, miniseries.
And isn't there one other one that's also on a streaming service that I've kind of heard like little rumblings as in the Lakers or, you know, the players of that era aren't real excited about this one because it doesn't paint a real pretty picture. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
That's the HBO one.
Oh, it is?
Same one. I think you're talking about the
same one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the one I'd like to see.
Okay.
I want to watch this one because it literally talks about him and like his upbringing all the way up to now. So it's pretty interesting.
That's cool. Yeah. We like Magic. Magic has got great smile, mm-hmm. great basketball player, tremendous individual, fantastic American with a lot of courage. You know,
he dropped a great smile.
It's a factor. It's a factor in the Hanson community. I mean, we know
adorable.
This.
Yeah.
Great smiles are a thing, man.
It's real life. You know, we like to impersonate styles of smiles in our practice room. It's something that we work on here. Hi, I'm Sean McVay.
No,
I never smile
really.
Unless I get to the Super Bowl. He smiled once. That was last press conference.
Well, you know, he got to win this Super Bowl. And I want to get back to the Lakers. But while we're on McVay for just one more minute here, you know, I hear people tell me all the time, and I know you and I had this conversation, or at least part of it yesterday, mm-hmm. which is if the Rams don't win, they can be very happy with they got here on the first year that SoFi is hosting the Super Bowl. And so the Rams can look at this season as a success because organizationally, games at home, they made it. All the moves they made got them to this point. It's a success, win or lose. When I look at McVay, I'm not suggesting to you, Clinton, that if the Rams don't win, that he's on the hot seat all of a sudden. Hardly.
Right.
But he wanted to get rid of Jared Goff. The organization accommodated him. He got the quarterback that he wanted. They have gotten to the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford was 0-3 in his playoff life. He's now 3-3. So all these kinds of moves did work out and get them to where they are. But for Sean McVay, he has to win this game. This is your second shot at the Super Bowl, but this is a once in a career opportunity to play the Super Bowl in your home stadium. You think he's ever going to coach a team in a Super Bowl ever again that's playing in his home stadium?
Absolutely not. And I think that between our conversation yesterday, between what Laura explained about the ability to grow the fan base, and between what you just said, and between my conversations with Rams fans last night, I've moved farther away from my stance, this is not a necessary win, to on some level, like, what do Rams fans even think about themselves if they don't win this game? Like, you've got the better coach, you've got the better football team, you're at home. You know, whatever it was that you bought into, that you referred to, the fans finally coming back to SoFi, people are in the building, et cetera, in terms of the move. What's happened, man? I don't think he's on the hot seat if he loses, but I do think that there is some question about his status as kind of the boy wonder. If they can't find a way to win this game against a coach in Zach, who is not who McVay is. This is a game they should be favored in. This is a game they probably should win. If they don't, that's a bummer, but I have moved from my stance yesterday, and I have moved closer to the, you know, this is something that we have to do as an organization. I mean, I'm half joking, but like, I really do think they need to win this game. I've changed my opinion from yesterday. This is what we call growth, Lindsay.
Yeah, growth, flexibility. Not obsessed with always being right. It's refreshing. No. It's nice.
Never that.
It's nice to hear.
You know, something that we like to do here is we don't deal with obsession. The only thing I'm obsessed with is the playbook and my hair gel. I use a lot of great products. I'd like to give a big shout out to, I don't know, Garnier Fructis. They send me a lot of stuff at my home in Orange County. It's a nice place to be.
What?
Hi, I'm Sean McVay.
This is
a joke Fructis. Only for Kaplan at this point.
Wow, nobody where cares. Did you come up with that one, man?
Dude, I watch a lot of TV, man.
If you would have said, hey, look, I really like these Paul Mitchell hair products, I think everybody would have been like, yeah, okay, got it. Paul Mitchell got it right. But Garnier Fructis.
Carne Fructis had jams, bro. They had cool commercials back when I was a kid. That's all I remember.
That's pretty good. That's really good. Hey, Clinton Yates is in today for Sedano. It's Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Glad everybody's here with us on a Friday afternoon. Now, you were at the game last night. You were at the Laker-Clipper game. You've told us a little bit about this.
Yep.
Clinton, I'm telling you right now, and Laura and Lindsay know this about me, sometimes I lose my attention span. So if I'm watching a series, for example.
Really?
Yes, it's true. I know it's hard to believe. But it's true. If I'm watching a series, like I was really into Billions for a long time on Showtime, and then it just, I just stopped watching it one day. And I was really into Ray Donovan at one point, and then I just kind of stopped watching it. Even Ted Lasso, I was down to maybe like the last two or three episodes, and I just for some reason lost interest and stopped watching. The Lakers, particularly without LeBron James, it was kind of like a series where I was like, you know, I'm not really sure I want to watch this game. So last night, I had to really like sit down and say, I'm gonna watch. Even in the first quarter, I was like, ugh, what am I watching? I'll wait an hour. I'll get to the third quarter.
Was bad. Yeah.
Right. So we get to the end, and the Lakers make this furious comeback, and it looks like they're on the verge of winning as Russ hits a shot that gives the Lakers the lead. And then Reggie Jackson comes skipping down the floor
literally,
and makes this incredible shot. And I know a lot of people complain about Russell Westbrook, and they say, you know, they talk about his offensive game. He's throwing, he's shooting the ball. It's hitting the top of the backboard. He's airballing shots. But the defensive side of things, you see that last play last night where Reggie Jackson goes to make this spin move, and Russ is there and doesn't get the ball, doesn't swipe it away. I mean, I know everybody complains about the offensive side, but man, last night when you just needed one defensive stop, they couldn't get it. And I just felt like, man, you got AD and Russ. You have two of your three stars, and you can't beat the Clippers that are completely depleted of any stardom of any kind. Were you shocked as you were sitting there last night watching this?
I would say I was shocked if that moment had happened in the first quarter, but the part of the problem with who the Lakers are, and this is something that people who watch games regularly all the way through who don't have completion issues, Scott,
yeah,
they realize that the Lakers do not get better from quarter one to quarter four. And that's a big issue in terms of the overall age and just general sort of how they do things, is that at the end of the games, if LeBron's not there, as you mentioned, they just don't have the spark. One of the things that I noticed in yesterday's game as well was that AD, who's supposed to be the man, AD is a tremendous skill set guy. I've said this many times. Hit the best shot of the playoffs 2 years ago when they won the whole daggone thing to beat the Nuggets. He has the peak. But for whatever reason, it just feels like he's not even close to 100%. And I noticed this when he dunks the basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would jump, not gingerly, but he would just sort of tuck it in. And I was like, whoa, like, what's going on here? Like, why do you not have the juice that you once had? And I think that's something that's been wearing on the Lakers from a physical standpoint because of the age of the roster. And I think it's something that's been wearing on them mentally because the pressure is high, man. You're exactly right. At the end of the game, the effort was different. But, I mean, that's part of the competition. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that they lost to a worse team. I just think they got beat. You know, and you've got to evaluate it at that point, not just the point of your expectations. And that's what's so tough about what they're dealing with right now.
Hey, this portion of the show is presented by Alignment Health Plan, changing healthcare one person at a time. Keeping on with the Lakers. You know, I turned on Stephen A. this morning on First Take. Stephen A. is preaching the possibilities, whereas Kendrick Perkin is preaching the realities. Let's get to that part of the Lakers coming up next. Man, I'm telling you, that was rough last night.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I've been doing it. It's stuck in my head. I've been walking around the house trying to find this fire alarm that will not shut the you-know-what up. And Lori, you got this song stuck in my head. That's where I'm going. To the right. Now to the left. Well, I was going to the left. There you go.
So you realize what this means, right? This means that the next time I see you in person, we're going to have to Cupid shuffle.
You realize that, right?
Mine is on point.
Mine is, I mean, come on. You know who I am. I mean, as the president of the, you know, television's Clinton. Yeah, it's, you know, all of the accolades. Obviously, the Cupid shuffle is an easy go-to. You know, that's something that we like to do in this household. We run that play a lot. It's a go-to for us. We've had success with it. You know, it's Cupid shuffle. Hi, I'm Sean McVay. I'm discussing Cupid shuffles. We move to the right. You move to the left. That's what we do.
We have our El Payaso Dorado, I think it's called. That's like the Latino version one. I want to see if we have it somewhere. But
all right, well, you'll look for that later. I want to tell everybody, 710 has your tickets to see the battle for the Lombardi Trophy. We've been promoting this, and you guys have been calling, and you guys are getting qualified, and that's awesome. Keep listening every hour for the Super Sounder. When you hear it, be caller number 7. The phone number is 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. You will qualify to win a pair of super tickets for the big game, the 710 Super Ticket Giveaway from your championship radio station, 710. So, Clinton, I got up this morning because I watched the game last night, and it was like, wow, the Clippers are going to kill them. They're beating them up. It's not even close. And then the Lakers make this furious run at the end, and they go on a big run, and they get back into the game. And then last few seconds, Russ hits this shot. Wow, they're going to win. Russ is going to have the game winner. And then Reggie Jackson goes down the other way, and then he hits one. And then, wait, AD, he gets the ball, and he's going to take it coast to coast, and he misses a shot, and the Clippers win. I'm like, okay. So I wake up in the morning. I turn on First Take this morning. What's Stephen A. going to say? I'm just curious to hear what everybody's going to talk about.
Stephen A. was dressed like Clinton Yates, by the way, today on the show. FYI.
He did look sharp. He had like a couple of nice necklaces on.
That I was like, oh, look at that. Steve, looking good. Yeah.
I know, and he was getting some heat for the gear today, but he was explaining, look, I'm in L.A. right now, and I'm headed back to New York. I like to be cozy and warm. So do I. I do, too. I just don't have the chains.
Okay, but what did he say? What were you referring to?
So what Stephen A. was essentially saying this morning was, and wait a second, Linz, do we have this? Laura, do we have this?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Okay, well, rather than me trying to paraphrase, let's hear what Stephen A. said about the Lakers. Go ahead.
I know that he missed the game-winning shot. Anthony Davis is looking special, y'all. He's reminding us who the hell he is. 31, 27, 30, and 30 in the last four games he's played. Okay? He's had a double-double in three of those four games. Last night, 30 and 17. The game before that, 30 and 15. This brother is reminding everybody who the hell he is, okay? And if that Anthony Davis shows up and LeBron shows up back healthy, I'm assuming the brother's out because he's trying to get healthy. That knee is a bit more bothersome than we originally thought. LeBron comes back with Anthony Davis playing like this. I'm just going to tell you the Lakers got a chance, at least, to get a little deep into the Western Conference playoff picture.
I just
heard
you.
What does a little deep mean to you?
Well, I mean, first and foremost,
if the woman you love tells you got a little deep, it's not, you know, I'm just saying, like, I don't get what that means. I mean, I'm half joking, but I mean, like, dude, a little deep is what, one series? Is it winning the playoff? I mean, the play-in? You know what I mean? Like, I understand what Steve is saying, which is that AD getting back to form is the best case scenario for the Lakers to actually do something. But the problem is not the ADs of the world. The problem is not the LeBrons of the world. The problem is that Malik Monk is the best player on the team right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and like, that's okay, but there's a larger talent level issue that doesn't just get locked in when one guy or two guys or even three guys suddenly start gelling. That hasn't even happened yet. And so I get where he's coming from. I just don't think that's a realistic outlook on what the overall talent level of this team is, if I'm being honest.
Well, there's the optimistic look, which was what Stephen A. said, in which, listen, George and I were having this conversation last week. Sedano said last week that if the Lakers don't play in the play-in, and I know that was hard because I said play-in, and then I said the play-in, so that didn't sound right. But if the Lakers are not in the earliest stages of the playoffs, George says if LeBron's healthy and if AD's healthy, there's a path to the Western Conference Finals. And I really want to be that optimistic.
What?
But as Stephen A. Smith is selling to you that AD looks great, and it's true, the last four games, he's averaging nearly 30 points per game, over 12 rebounds, two assists, almost three blocks. I mean, yeah, the stats tell you that Anthony Davis has come back from injury and has made immediate statistical impact on the game. But Kendrick Perkins, also on First Take this morning with Stephen A., balanced everything out by making it real simple. Perkins comes on and goes, yo, man, the Lakers stink. That's all. The Lakers stink. That's what Perk said when Stephen A. is trying to sell hope, and I could appreciate that. Perk made it real simple. They stink. You know, Clinton, look, you say that they didn't lose to an inferior team last night, the Clippers.
Right.
But you've got Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. And I got it. It hasn't gone great this year for Russ. But you've got two of your three stars. And they've got zero of their two stars. And the Lakers can't beat the Clippers? And look, it was close. And the Clippers had to hit a last-second shot. But that was only because the Lakers had to hit a last-second shot. Because the Lakers were down 17 and have to come back. It's hard for me to believe that the Lakers, fully healthy LeBron, fully healthy AD, it's hard for me to see these guys are going anywhere this year.
Let me adjust some expectations. Where do you think, and I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, where do you think the Lakers rank, not in the West, but just total in the league? What do you think the number is if you ranked 1 through 20? I'm looking at it right now. I looked it up because I wanted to know on the NBA.com. Where do you think they rank, and who do you think is ahead and behind them? It's not a quiz. I'm just wondering, like, off the top of your head, like, how far up or down do you think they actually are? What's the number
you're saying,
you think
like
they rank?
Just overall statistical
like top 25, where do you think that they are in terms of actual wins?
I'd say they are probably, I don't know, 17, 18.
They're 19. You see what I'm saying? They're lower than you thought. And the team that they're ahead of is the Washington Wizards. Like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about what the expectation level is where I think for this team, I mean, we're talking about Western Conference Finals. Like, are we serious? Like, how does that happen? Let's look at the conference. Phoenix is 1, Golden State is 2, Memphis is 3. The Lakers are 9. So if the Lakers get into the 8 seed above what would be the Clippers, they would play Phoenix, who, hello, is better than they were last year, and hello, beat the Lakers in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, that would be a monster upset. You're going to presume that the next team you face is either Dallas or, I mean, one of the top teams. Like, dude, I don't know, man. I just think that, like, the injury situation, the age situation, it is realistic enough for Lakers fans to understand that this year just hasn't worked out the way that people want, and that's okay. You know what I mean? The goal here now is to make sure, in my personal opinion, that LeBron stays motivated, quite frankly, to hang around and continue with this operation. You know, we do not want Planet LeBron to move into other orbits. You know what I'm saying? We need Planet LeBron to hang around Los Angeles to make things interesting. And if people start getting too weird about what's expected versus what they got, reminder, they already won one ring. That happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
This team is just not as talented as a lot of people wanted to believe that they were.
I know, but they retooled this team and they retooled this roster, and we've talked about revisionist history and where they were a season ago when LeBron got hurt, what their record was, how they were playing, how they tore apart last year's team, built this team, and I just remember when they did it and everybody was saying, they're old. The counter to their old was, no, they're experienced. And experienced teams win championships in the NBA. And remember LeBron on Twitter saying things like, yeah, just make sure you're bringing that during the season. When you're telling us how old we are now, just make sure you remind us of that during the season. Well, guess what? I don't think LeBron wants everybody to remind him because they're 25 and 28. Can LeBron come back healthy, AD stay healthy, and the Lakers make noise in the playoffs? It's getting hard to believe. I got to say that.
What did Steve say? Going kind of deep? Like, I don't even know what that means. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm genuinely asking. And I'm not going to open up the phones or whatever, but, like, you know, Lakers fans like to say it's a championship or bust situation. I get it. But after you have a realistic evaluation of the talent level of not just the Lakers, but hello, everybody they're playing against, I don't understand what that phrase means. To me, if I'm being very honest, making the playoffs with this roster in this situation would be a gargantuan accomplishment for this franchise. There's nothing
wow. I know there are a lot of people out there right now that don't think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. We'll talk more as the afternoon goes on. Stick around. Clinton Yates is in for Sedano. And coming up next, it's time to play Radio Tinder. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is correct. Thank you, Christopher. It is time for Radio Tinder, which means Lindsay Baseball is standing by. Clinton Yates is in for Sedano. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Hi, Lindsay Baseball.
Hi, Cap. Let's
That's
start
her
off.
Handle on the Instagrams and on the Twitters.
You know, so you do like, you say like, Lindsay Baseball. Laura Romo, follow her on Twitter. Unique _ It's right. U-N-E. But you don't say any of that when Radio Tinder comes on.
Well, that's because
that's
I feel
I'm,
like.
That's what I'm here for. It's
yeah,
okay.
Thank you, Clinton.
Yeah,
thank you.
I feel like by calling you Lindsay Baseball, that's a really good way of promoting your Instagram and your Twitter.
You know, we like to promote communication in our rooms. That's something that we do well
no,
as a team.
No, pull the plug. That's done. It
Thanks,
is
Sean.
Done.
Thanks, Sean.
Hi, I'm Sean.
We do not approve that message.
I use Garnier Fructis products. They send them to my house in Orange County.
Sir, Radio
Mr.
Tinder, please.
Garnier
Lindsay.
McVay, it's my turn.
Please, okay. Lindsay, my bad. And follow her at Lindsay Baseball. Okay?
Pipe down,
hey, Sean. Lindsay, why don't you do what Clinton does? He changes his Twitter name all the time. Why don't you go like by seasons? Why don't you call yourself Lindsay Football right now?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Just an idea.
Clinton, that's like his whole thing, you know? So, yes. Speaking of things... In a recent episode of the podcast called The River Cafe Table 4, David Beckham was a guest. I don't know how this lady with this podcast landed David Beckham as a guest, but that's a story for another day. But during this podcast interview, he opened up about his love for food and wine and cooking, but he revealed that his wife, Victoria Beckham, is not quite on the same page as him. He said that Victoria has eaten the same thing throughout their entire relationship. Quote, unfortunately... I'm married to someone that's eaten the same thing for the last 25 years. Ever since I met Victoria, she's only eaten grilled fish and steamed vegetables. She will rarely deviate away from that. He like went on to say that like he's dead serious. It's literally her diet every day. And that she only went away from it once when she was pregnant with their daughter. So I don't think that's really doable for any of us on the show at least, not anytime soon. But would you guys ever be able to eat the same thing every day for at least an entire month? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I will swipe right. I know I talk about how undisciplined I am currently, but if I set my mind, I actually can get ultra disciplined. And even though that sounds really, really boring, eating grilled fish and steamed vegetables every day, it does sound like a really nice, clean diet. Just the preparation part of it that's a pain for me. But if I had to, I think I could pull it off.
You know, I talked to Sean McVay about this. I'm joking. I think it would be tough. I think it would be tough for me to go beyond a month. That number in that calendar date, Scott, is about where it could end. You know what I'm saying? Like if I really had to do it a month, is about the end of that. I'll swipe right. You know what I mean? Because of that date, which is... 30 days, okay. I can do a little 30-day challenge kind of thing, Scott. I'm sure that when you guys were in college, you used to have all sorts of sort of mini challenges that you used to do to try to sort of motivate yourselves. And, you know, I mean, I'm not even joking about this, like in the weight room or wherever. You know what I mean? You have those kind of goals that you set. But if you get beyond a month, I'm like, bro, come on. You're asking too much, you know.
I used to always give up meat for Lent, like the entire month of Lent. And 1 year, it was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to see how long I can go. And I stopped eating meat until this past July. So I went like 5 years.
Wow.
Meat,
so.
Wow. That's impressive. Okay.
Yeah. That's great. 6 months here. 6 months. Same meal.
You had the same meal every day for 6 months?
Uh-huh. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
What was it?
That's how you got to your goals?
Yeah, that was part of it. So breakfast was literally egg whites, turkey bacon. And then lunch was grilled chicken with like hot sauce. Like that my mom would make, like Mexican hot sauce and veggies, the same type of veggies. And then dinner was the same as lunch. It was a boring life.
You know, we value dedication. That's something that we have. It's all a big priority for what we do. Hi, my name is Sean McVay. I'm coaching in the Super Bowl, if you didn't know who I was already.
Speaking of dedication, an Arizona lab is holding the bodies and heads of 200 people with the hope that they can be brought back to life in the future. The Alcor Life Extension Foundation offers the hope that science and technology will advance to the stage where the deceased can be brought back to life. So Alcor will freeze a whole body for around $200,000 or just the head and the brain for $80,000 in a process known as cryonics. The bodies will be stored at deep freeze temperature for decades or even centuries. Would you guys pay to have your body frozen if you knew is a key word there, that there was a chance that they could bring it back to life? Swipe left or swipe right, Clinton?
I am swiping way left, but I need a reset. Did you say there's a discount for just head and brain?
Yep, that's right.
What am I doing with my life if I only have my head and my brain? What is the purpose? Is there going to be some side body that is reattached to? That is weird.
Well, Scott, the idea is like with your brain and the cells and all that kind of stuff can, like you say, like kind of like be reattached or something cloned.
No, thank you. Scott, this is a story that is familiar to a lot of baseball fans.
Yes, this is the Ted Williams story, right?
Ted Williams situation, exactly. Yes. His son tried to do this to him, stick his head in an ice pop. Bro, I don't like this. This is messing with God, in my opinion.
I'm telling you that when Lindsay was reading this and she mentioned the name of the company in Arizona, I immediately thought to myself, isn't this the same place where they took Ted Williams' head, just his head, and they froze it? And they were like, yeah, you know, hey, a couple of years from now, who knows? Maybe he'll come back. I'm like, come back to what? What's he going to come back and hit for 400?
I don't mean to laugh, and I genuinely apologize for being so flippant about this, but like the idea of like, I don't know, disconnected heads connecting back to bodies is just outrageous. I can't believe we're paying money for this.
That's I'm swiping left. I'm out on this. When I'm gone, I'm gone, man. I mean, hopefully I'll come back in some other form. But
maybe just your head in your – maybe you'll be able to put Garnier Fructis products on your new head or your old head with your new body, perhaps.
Give it thought.
It's like the opening scene of Austin Powers when they walk through the lab and there's Ted Williams and I think Walt Disney is one of the things. And who's the other one? That Elvis, maybe, of all the frozen bodies.
Elvis is in the frozen body camp?
No. It was a joke because it's a movie. But like,
oh, right. Austin Powers. Sorry. Yeah, right, I would believe it if you told me that Elvis had a like a... Whatever.
Tupac was the other one. Tupac, too.
Tupacalypse, he might show up in hologram form at the Super Bowl. You know, Tupac's a guy that I used to enjoy in college for the pregame. He had a lot of good music, a little West Coast vibe, a little gangster rap. That's something that I was introduced to by some teammates. Hi, I'm Sean McVay. I'm coaching in the Super Bowl.
So Amazon announced yesterday.
Just let him keep going with it, by the way.
I'll stop.
I like it.
Amazon announced yesterday that it's raising the price of annual Prime memberships from $119 to $139. That is an increase of 17% for yearly members. But if you're like me, you're part of the 50% of Amazon Prime users who pay monthly. And that membership is going to go up from $12.99 to $14.99, which means it's going to be almost $180 a year. This is the first increase for Prime members since 2018, though. Are you an Amazon Prime member? And if so, will this increase make you want to cancel? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
My answer is I think I'm an Amazon Prime member.
Do you get one-day delivery for free?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but I have a question.
Dog alert.
I don't really know. I don't know if I pay it monthly or annually. I don't remember. What do I get with Amazon Prime?
You strike me as somebody who doesn't know, like who doesn't necessarily like pay the bills.
You're not
like,
up logistically, on your subscriptions.
Yeah. Right. Like logistically, somebody else handles all that and you don't know what you pay for.
Yeah, because I've
Hence
seen
the,
some
the,
apps.
The Gucci purse.
The Gucci purse.
Right. G-O-O-C-H-I. I'm almost sure that I've seen these apps recently on Instagram that show you how to cancel certain subscriptions that keep on rolling that you can't get out of for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have Amazon Prime annually or...
You probably do.
Well, all I can tell you is this. I'm all for it. Amazon's stock price. Do you guys know this? You know, as Facebook has crashed hard, Amazon beat earnings and was up $375 today.
Okay. So a lot of it is because of the increase, too.
Well, they also crushed their earnings. Not that I'm like sitting here to play Jim Cramer on CNBC.
I got you.
All I'm saying is
they announced it because they're like, hey, we had a great earnings report. Our stock's going to go up. Let's increase the prices now.
Yeah, $375 in one day. I mean, it's a $3,100 stock, but it was down at like $2,700. Went up almost $400 in one day. So for me, as someone who owns a little teeny tiny bit of Amazon, I'm all for it.
I do not. I think I have Amazon Prime. I'm with Scott. I'm just aloof enough to like kind of not know. And when they're like, oh, you want next day delivery? I'm like, sure. So I guess I have Prime. I don't know that I would have noticed this if you had told me, though, because I don't pay monthly. I pay yearly. So this is not something that would have been on my radar unless you had brought it up, Lindsay. So I appreciate
it. I feel like you would notice it more if you were a yearly person, because to me, like, just thinking about like the big one lump sum or whatever seems like a lot more money than a $2 a month increase. Because even though in the end, like I said, you're going to end up paying $180 instead, you know, it's going up way more. To me, I feel like, oh, well, that's more doable, you know, just going up $2 every month. So
that's how they get you, though.
Right. That's what I was going to say. I wouldn't have noticed had I not seen this article, and I would have kept paying it because I need Amazon Prime in my life.
Fun fact, I love the fact that Radio Tinder is basically just sort of an outlet for Lindsay's, you know, sort of personal issues. This is
important. It's great.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that, like, maybe the one lump sum is worth it, you know, just maybe.
I had to order something from Amazon yesterday. And I've been sitting here racking my brain. What did I order? I ordered vacuum bags. And they told me they were coming today. And I see there's a bunch of stuff that came. I just don't know what's what. So
hold on. We need to break this down. Why are you ordering vacuum bags for your house? If Lindsay's assertion is correct, that you're kind of not really on top of things, how do vacuum bags get to you in your household? What's that about? You know, we don't like to do that. We have responsibilities here that we parse out.
Stop.
You know, our coaches are really well prepared. No, I'm joking. But like, what, vacuum bags? Why are you
ordering
vacuum bags?
I don't know either, but this is going to sound really, really, really bougie. So just be prepared, Laura.
Okay.
Because my housekeeper told me I needed them.
Okay.
That's not bougie.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
That's not
just want to make sure.
That's fair. That's called stimulating the economy.
Yes. Yes, it is indeed. All right. What else, Lindsay?
Oh, that is all for Radio Tinder.
That's it.
Today.
That's it. Mm-hmm. We're done with Radio Tinder. I like Radio Tinder.
Wait, I just got to say something about the Amazon thing. Mm-hmm. Cap, you have students. You can pay a student rate. So look into that. It's like 50%.
Hit the ding.
Really?
Okay. Yes, because I do. Hello. And if you have access to a student email still, you can cut that portion in half.
I mean, that's a cat move right there.
You know, just register it with your college email or whatever school email.
But you know, you talk about being aloof. I mean, here it is, Clinton. You ready? Mm-hmm. I got two kids in college, and I should be calling my auto insurance and saying, hey, I'd like to get student discount. Or, hey, my kid is now in Idaho at Boise State, not in California. Shouldn't her insurance be less up there than it is down here? And there's probably a break somewhere. And I'm like one of those people who always says this. I don't have the time to do that. And
what
I should make the time
with
to do
your actual
that.
Time. Yeah. What, I mean, like, why you don't have time to help your kid save money? What are you
for
doing?
No, not them. Me.
Oh, because he pays for it. That's the difference.
It's the same. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Cap, I'm kind of the same way. I let things fall through the cracks a lot.
Oh, I know.
This could
not
be
when it comes
a
to money.
Moment. You could teach your children to handle this themselves. Yeah.
Not when it comes to money. From the woman who spends $1,000 a month at Starbucks.
First of all, I do not spend $1,000 at Starbucks.
Do you spend $1,000 a month at Starbucks?
No, it's a joke.
She has a habit.
That's a lot.
I deleted the app. I really did delete the app.
Oh, good.
Oh, so
way to go.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
All right.
You
old guy advice worked.
Yeah, wow. I did. It actually did. I told my mom, I'm like, you know how much I spend? She's like, there is a freaking coffee machine in the house.
Yeah, that's fair. We got food at the crib.
Yeah, that's you know, hay comida en la casa. You know what's up. You know what that means. You know, hay comida en la casa.
Comida en la casa. We got food in the house. I get around.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. We have to investigate this. Every single time a song comes on, you there's like a tick where you what are you doing with your body when that happens? Like, is this move
I'm
of yours?
Totally gyrating. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Gyrating, TMI. Yeah.
Why, really? Is a gyration
it's not
too
TMI.
Much?
I asked him the question.
Oh, my
gyrating,
God.
Gyrating is a hilarious verb.
Oh,
so what do you do like the overbite deal? Is that what you do? Do you touch the hair? Do you do all of the things?
The overbite?
Do you do all of that?
He totally does. He totally does.
Yeah.
Is like, the overbite
you know, it's like a two-part move? I'm just asking.
Is the when you say
you've
the overbite
three segments in a row.
Just give me what the overbite move means. I'm not exactly 100% positive, and then I'll be able to tell you if I do it or not.
You know, one of the things we like to do is when we break down film, we talk about how guys – no, but overbite is think about your top – how do I say this? The top part of your mouth if you bite the bottom of your lip because you think you're doing something cool.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I mean, yeah, sometimes – yeah, I so do, that, do that, actually.
You do that. You do that.
I just didn't know that was what it was called. Yeah. Yeah, I do that.
Nailed it.
I do that, as a matter of fact. When I gyrate, I overbite
at the same time. In my household, it's known as – well, in many households, it's known as the white man's overbite. But I sort of left that part out.
Look who you're talking to here. Right. You're talking to the whitest guy going.
That was a given, yeah.
You know?
Okay, that's cool.
So Clinton, we've been talking Lakers today and their loss last night to the Clippers. We were talking a bunch of Rams earlier today. I'm just going to call a timeout for a second and tell you this. On my televisions in my home studio, I'm just kind of reorganizing everything. And I got one TV on the Pro Bowl festivities in Las Vegas, okay?
Okay.
And then on my other TV here, I've got on the NHL All-Star festivities also in Vegas. And the only reason I have the All-Star festivities on, the hockey festivities, because I didn't even know it was the NHL All-Star game, is because it's on ESPN. So I now that I feel really cool, Clinton, I've got this remote control where I push the microphone and I say, ESPN. And it goes right there. And I know I'm late to the party on this, but I think it's really cool.
That is a dope feature. That is one of the better things that has come out of like television cable production in the last 5 years. Yeah. You can just talk to your remote.
Right.
I love it.
So I got the Pro Bowl on right now, which is, you know, from Vegas, you know, all these NFL stars playing dodgeball. I'm completely uninterested and unentertained. It does nothing for me. And then on the other TV, I got the All-Star game, the NHL All-Star festivities. Like I said, I didn't even know it was happening. But it occurs to me, both of these things are happening in the same place. The Pro Bowl this weekend is in Vegas. Not that I think anybody's watching it because everybody's just Super Bowl obsessed. And the NHL All-Star game is also happening in Vegas. So two things that are both on my TV at the exact same time, which neither do I have very much interest, but that's what's going on, and they're both in Vegas at the same time. You watching any of this?
Oh, yeah. I got this on right now. I'm watching the Hardest Shot competition, and I wish I was in Vegas because everybody I know who works at this network is in Vegas right now. And between the Pro Bowl, the skills competition, which is actually happening tonight, Scott, in the NHL, like, this looks cool. I've actually been to a couple skates in Vegas. I was there when the Caps played in the Stanley Cup Final against the Golden Knights. So I've been to that arena. Bro, Vegas is having a great time this weekend. You got a double dip on a Friday. People hitting pucks into the Bellagio Lake or whatever. Doesn't get much better than that, man. I'm loving every bit of this right now.
So it got me thinking. I also earlier today had on the Winter Olympics, which are underway in Beijing. Now, are you into or watching or will you watch any of the Winter Games? And for those of you that had no idea that the Winter Olympics were underway, you're welcome. I didn't know either. It just so happens to pop up on my TV.
I don't want to get too deep on this, Scott, but the truth of the matter and the reason why I'm willing to discuss it now in this regard is because we actually talked about it on Around the Horn today, which is that, like, I'm not going to lie, man. I don't feel great about watching the Olympics these days because of where they are, how they happen, and what goes down. I understand that there's a separation between the athletes that are competing in terms of what they've done and the location that all things happen. But I think that what you just said, oh, by the way, the Winter Olympics are happening, I think that has a large part to do with the overall sort of appeal of this type of just athletic event has gone down in the last 10 years, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a Winter Olympics person. I like it. The NHL is not playing in it, obviously, because they're on the ice in Vegas, as we just mentioned. But, like, I used to enjoy the Olympics with a different level of interest than I do now. And I don't think it's just age for me. It's just that I know how they go down. And I'm like, oh, this is hard to watch, man. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to think about all this other stuff going on in terms of how these even, you know, got put together. But I watched a little, what did I watch last night? I watched a little curling. Watched a little ice dancing. I watched the U.S. women on skates beat the Finns. They won like 5-1. They're a pretty good team. So, like, I'll tune in, but I'm not going to lie. I don't love it, and I don't like tweeting about it either because I feel like I'm giving props to something that kind of probably shouldn't be happening the way that it is, you know? That's kind of where I am, not to get too far into it.
If you could participate as an athlete in one Winter Olympic sport, which one do you like the most?
This is a non-question, bro. It'd be snowcross, man. Are you kidding me? people racing down a mountain on snowboards and they get to knock each other over on the way down the hill. That's my kind of competition. That might not be in the Winter Olympics, but it's in the X Games or whatever. Cross is like my type of competition. Like, here's you, the last person to make it down wins. That's what I'm about. That's what I would do. Snowboard cross.
I think I like, is it called skeleton? Is that the one where you're on a sled and your feet are like kind of bowed in and you're just holding on for dear life?
Skeleton is where you go face first. Luge is where you go feet first.
Oh, luge?
Luge is feet first. Skeleton is face first.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to do the luge, please.
I don't
please.
Think you have
Ooh,
it
face
to go
first
skeleton.
Is scary.
Skeleton
yeah.
is terrifying.
Dude, I don't, I don't want to do the face first. Feet first, I'm in. Face first, I'm out.
Okay. I could deal with that, but that's also like, I feel like that's something that I would not want to compete in. I would just want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't mind doing it. I wouldn't win anything. But, like, I know that I could beat somebody down a mountain on a snowboard, especially if I got to, like, punch them or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you know, or physically get involved. You know, that would be fun. But, like, bro, I'm not trying to go flying off of a luge track, you know, and lose a limb. That's – no thank you. That's terrifying. But
I hear
you,
man.
I'm watching a little – my point is that I got a toe dipped in it is about as much as I got on that, Scott.
All right. Well, hey, look, Pro Bowl festivities in Vegas, NHL All-Star festivities in Vegas, and the Winter Games underway. And so there you go. You know what's going on television, at least right now, while you're listening to the radio. Stick around, everybody, because coming up, LeBron James is getting some heat for a tweet after last night's Lakers-Clippers game. We're going to get to that. And maybe the most annoying thing that another person can do while next to you. We'll get to those stories coming up. This is Sedano and Cap. Clinton Yates is in for Sedano. This is 710 ESPN.